Good afternoon. Merry Christmas. It's a blessing to be with my church family on Christmas Day. It's not very many Christmases where I get to spend it with my church family. And I guess as tradition would have it, I guess it's up to me, well, maybe I'll start a tradition, to tell a potentially embarrassing story. You see, when I was a child, and I don't remember this because maybe it's a bad memory that I've blotted out or something like that. But I kind of got my Christmas stories mixed up. You see, somehow in my childlike mind, I got Jesus and Santa Claus confused. Apparently, when I was 15, no, not really, when I was quite a bit younger than that, my mum and dad told me this story one day. I woke up bright and early on Christmas morning, as excited as could be, and I ran out to the Christmas tree. And of course, as we know, on Christmas morning, there's always a bunch of extra presents on Christmas morning because Santa has been the night before. And so, full of excitement, I rush into my mum and dad's bedroom, jumped on the bed, jumped up and down. I said, "Jesus has been! Jesus has been!" I think I got my stories mixed up a little there, didn't I? And it makes me think, sometimes in the mix of it all and everything that goes down on Christmas, that sometimes we get our stories mixed up a little. Today's sermon, and it's hard to compete, I've got to be honest, it's hard to follow a pastor who wears a skirt and a fake beard. It's hard to follow a pastor who will go to some fun in order to portray the message. It was such a good message last week. But sometimes I feel like in Christmas, I myself get this Christmassy thing all mixed up. Let me try and explain what I mean. A while ago, we had a vehicle. It was a 2003 Durango. Now, do most of you guys know what I'm talking about when I say a 2000? Well, it's a big SUV. It was a 2003 model, and it had been an ex-police vehicle. Now, because it had been an ex-police vehicle, it had been in some sort of pursuit where it had been driven into a ditch. So it wasn't in the best condition. But when we first arrived in the States, not having a lot of money, it was about the best that we could do. So we would drive this car here, there, and everywhere, and it didn't look the prettiest. And to be honest with you, after a while, it just became a huge problem. It was a problem child. Like, we had to get new tires for it. We had to get new spark plugs for it. There was just a bunch of stuff. And finally, it got to the stage where in order to pass smog, we were going to have to spend more than we could get for it to sell. So we were just like, this is ridiculous. So I'm not saying we did a shifty deal or anything like that. You know, selling someone, as we would say in Australia, a dodgy car. But someone was willing to pay more than it was going to cost us to fix it. And so we handed the keys over to this problem vehicle, which I, in all honesty, I never really liked it that much. It was just kind of like a car, and it was our car, and it was like, yeah, okay. As I handed those keys over, and I was realizing this is the last time I will see that car, I got sad. I was like, this problem child car of ours, it was our first car here in the States. And I felt sad. Somehow, in all of that, I'd become emotionally attached to this car, and I didn't even know it. I want to hone in on one particular part of the Christmas story. When Dennis got up here last week, in his dress and fake beard, I thought maybe he's going to steal my thunder. But I think the part that really gets me builds on what Dennis was talking about last week. Turn with me in your Bibles to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. Excuse me. Luke chapter 2. The story goes like this. There were some shepherds in a field. For those of you who weren't here last week, there were some shepherds in a field, and they were tending their sheep by night. They were thinking about the coming of the Messiah. And while they were out there in the field, behold, to use a Bible word, an angel appears and says, "I have good news." The shepherds were kind of like thinking, "Whoa, what's all this about? Who's this freaky, glowy guy?" And the angel says, "Fear not, I have good news, because a child is born, the Savior of the world." And the story goes that while the shepherds are taking all this in, verse 13, suddenly, of chapter 2, suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, you remember what they said? Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace and goodwill toward men. Depends what Bible translation you said. This one is the NIV here, and it says, and on earth, peace to men on whom his favor rests. But the Christmas songs and all that, goodwill toward men. As I think of those two lines, because really it's a two-line song, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests. As I think of those two lines, I think right there is the Christmas message. Right there is an ultimate summary of what Christmas is all about. First of all, you have glory to God in the highest. What does that mean? Any ideas? 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 6 tells us the glory of God is found where? Does anyone know this verse? The glory is found where? In the face of Jesus Christ. You get that? The glory of God is found in the face of Jesus Christ. If you want to know how glorious God is, look at Jesus. So the angels are saying, glory to God in the highest, because now people are going to know about God's glory. So heaven is rejoicing, because people are now going to see what God is really like. And then they turn around and say this, peace on earth. Well, and on earth rather, peace and goodwill toward men. Now the problem with goodwill is this. I went to the store the other day, the Goodwill store. I was looking for some, it was a little while ago. I was looking for some clothes for the SDA PGA so that I could get my golfing attire on. And I walk into the store and I'm looking around at things. And I noticed, completely off the golfing topic, they had some board games there. Have you guys been to Goodwill and seen the board games they have there? They have these nicely wrapped board games. And as I was looking at the price, I'm thinking, what? I could go to Walmart and buy the same game for the same price, if not slightly cheaper. And as I was looking around the store, I noticed a few other kind of expensive things. And I'm thinking, that doesn't seem right. But then I went and I saw the clothes and I was like, yeah, hey, here's some good golfing clothes. And they were cheap enough. But the problem with Goodwill is this. I had to pay for it. What do I mean by that? The word that is used in the Bible, in the Greek Bible, for goodwill means these different things. Means pleased or favored, or it's my desire, or it's, and this is my favorite, my kind intention. When it says on earth, kind intention, it's talking about how God feels about us. It's talking about how God has kind intention for us. And Christmas time is when we get that whole thing. Emmanuel, right? You shall call him Emmanuel. What does Emmanuel mean? God with us. Why is God with us? Why does God want to be with us? You see, when I think about these kind of questions, I'm drawn to find a modern comparison. And if you go, let's say, here we are at Sunnyside Seventh-day Adventist Church on Sabbath. We're like, yeah, we're going to have a really cool Christmas theme. Is the mayor here celebrating with us? The mayor of Fresno? No, why not? Is the president here celebrating with us in church? Why not? You see, when I think about big names and people, right? Like when I think about people who in this world, I guess, have some authority or some sway, whenever they kind of find themselves in a bit of political bother or something like that, or when they're campaigning, what do they tend to do? Hey, how you doing, buddy? Good to see you. Vote for me. How you doing, sir? Good to see you. Why do they come out and be with the people? Is it because they want to be there? No, it's a PR thing, right? Their PR people say, you need to go press the skin, as they say, kiss some babies, and right? And be with the people. Ladies and gentlemen, God did not consult his PR people. God did not have a PR problem. God did not need to come and kiss babies. You get what I'm saying? God had kind intention toward mankind. And he said, I want to be with you. So I will send Jesus. I will come in the flesh so that you can know what I'm like. You see, the problem with goodwill is this. When you think about Christmas, you think about Christmas songs, it's kind of like, how do you get presents at Christmas? You've got to be good all year, right? Supposedly. I haven't been good all year, but my wife still bought me presents. But right, you're supposed to be good all year. That's how you get presents at Christmas. And we hear it in Christmas songs. We hear it all the time. And somehow in the Christian world, we twist God's goodwill and say, he only loves you if you do this, that, and the other thing. But that's not the truth. The truth is, God has goodwill, kind intention towards us. First. And that's what Christmas is about. Why would God even be interested in you? You might be sitting here and thinking, why would God have goodwill towards me? Just a useless, hopeless sack of bones. I'll be honest with you, sometimes I feel like that way. I'm kind of like, why would God even want anything to do with me? But I think there are three reasons. Number one, because he made us. The Bible says he knit us together in the womb. Number two, God knows our full potential. He sees what you can become with him. And he likes that a lot. As I look at my kids, I don't have kids, but I consider the youth my kids. As I look at my kids, and yes, sometimes they make stupid decisions. Because I was young once and I made stupid decisions too, so you're not alone. But as I look at my kids, I can see some awesome, awesome potential. And it makes me want to drive them and push them and encourage them to make good choices and to do good things because I can see what they become. How much more does the one who made us know our full potential? That's why he loves us. And number three, so because he made us, because he knows our full potential, and number three, because he is true love. And true love recognizes the bad stuff, but it chooses to focus on the good stuff. The Bible says true love covers a multitude of sins. He chooses to look at our good stuff and to work on our bad stuff. So this Christmas, let's not run out and look under the tree and say, Jesus has been, and get our stories mixed up. Let's remember the true meaning of Christmas. Remember that it is because of God's free goodwill, his desire, his kind intention, that he came to this earth to walk among us. It is his goodwill, his desire, his kind intention that gives us the opportunity to live both now and eternally. It is his goodwill, his desire, and his kind intention that comes to us because he loves us. So this Christmas, don't get stuck at the manger in Bethlehem. Don't get stuck under the tree. Don't get stuck in the stable. And don't get stuck complicating God's goodwill. Instead, get stuck on God's huge, enormous, unfathomable love, because that is why he came to this earth. And that is exactly why we can truly be joyful. We can be joyful here in this world because our Lord has come.